Let's pray. God of wisdom, move in our midst, overwhelm us with your word, so we may know you more completely and love you more closely. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before the reading, come on up, Mark. Today's reading is part of a letter sent 30 years or so after Jesus' death and resurrection. It was written to a group of people in a place called Colossae who had come to know the risen Christ and desired to follow the way. In the early church, people didn't call themselves Christians, but followers of the way, and that's what they became. The Colossians were struggling with the best way to live out their faith. There were so many different teachings, so many different ideas that kind of impinged on them. They were confused by Jewish believers who said they had to be circumcised and follow all the letter of the law. They were worried that they were following the wrong way when some pious believers taught that following Christ was about special knowledge, secret rites, and chants. It seemed perhaps harder, but it might look more holy. And then they were led astray by those who taught that faith was like a ladder, by which you earned closeness to God the more you did. Paul wanted to help them to learn to live correctly, to learn to live in Christ. And he began by reminding this group of the truth of who Christ is and the wonder of God's grace that was freely given. Paul continued to write to clear up confusion about how to live so that they might follow Christ in all of their living. So listen for God's word through Paul to the early church and for us today.
Thanks for that introduction. That was great. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 19. This can be found on page 200 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Reading from Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ, the Jesus Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fulfillment in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through the faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us of our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling in visions, puffed up without a cause by a body, human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, and grows with the growth that is coming from God. This is the word of the Lord.
So we gather today as a group to worship God together, and part of our worship is to listen to ancient words and listen for the Holy Spirit to breathe them into our lives. Every time we open Scripture, we must listen not just for the words themselves, but also for their interpretation for us today. Before Jesus died, he told his disciples that God would send the Holy Spirit to teach, to reveal God, to guide disciples in living the way of the kingdom of God. It is this Holy Spirit we wait for and depend on every time we read Scripture. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit, open to what is applicable and what was once for a particular time and place and is no longer binding. So today we've turned to a letter that is almost over 2,000 years old, a letter to a place called Colossae, and a group of people called the Colossians. Paul has advice for the best ways to live in faith, how it help our living can help our faith walk as well. In particular, in this passage, it's a very dense passage. Everybody got that? There was a lot in it. So we're just going to concentrate on one little passage, which is verses 6 and 7. So I'm going to have you read that with me together. We're going to go through it point by point, but let's read it together. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That seemed a little simpler, didn't it? So, we'll start with, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. With this simple phrase, believers are reminded that faith begins with God and God's gift of grace and faith. Although we do believe, we cannot believe unless Christ is revealed to us. And then we have a choice. Our choice is then, do we live in response according to that truth we have received, or do we not? The word Lord, it's an old word. We don't use it very often except for in religious circles, and we use it quite a lot in religious circles. We talk about Christ Jesus as Lord. But in our everyday lives, often it has a negative connotation. We talk about somebody lording it over us. Who wants to be lorded over? And yet that's exactly what we say. We allow Christ to be lord over us. It is a positive context for Paul. It's positive, denotes caring and love and protection. That we have Jesus Christ as Lord reminds Christians that we don't just accept a bunch of beliefs. We don't just have things we think. But that we have received Christ Jesus himself, and we trust him to care for us, to protect us, and to lead us every day. So we as individuals and as a group have a relationship with Christ and have one we call our leader. Since Christ is in all things and all things are held together in Christ, the whole community of faith and all the individuals lie within Christ. As Christians, we as a group accept Christ's ways for our life. We commit to follow Christ with everything we say and everything we do. This is a response to Christ who is Lord. And we are not able to do this on our own, but it's made possible because Christ is in us and we are part of the body of Christ, and Christ is the head joined to us. As we live out this reality, God can reveal Christ, who is in us, to others through us. We live this way, not because we've been conquered and are made to live this way by Christ. We don't live under Jesus' dictatorship. But we choose to live this way out of thanksgiving, that God, who is so great, God is who has done such wondrous things through Christ for us. We do this because we love God and God loves us. So the next phrase, continue to live your lives in Him. We have a choice. We are to continue to choose to follow the way of Christ. It's not something that happens once in our lives. It happens every day. To do this, to make those choices, we need to remember what we have been taught. We need to know it. Through our choices, we need to choose to live according to what we remember and what we know. It's far too easy sometimes to choose the other way. It's not just a matter of following rules. We are to seek Christ's way amid all the choices in our lives. We are to wisely choose where to put ourselves, which influences to allow to influence us. We get to choose what influences our lives. There are times when choices are more obvious for us to make. We should not lie or steal or commit murder. This much we know. But there are other times when we need to discern, word that means to actively seek to know God's will for us today. We need to seek what God has to say about things in our lives, things that Paul would not even have contemplated happening. And also, we need to be aware of what is influencing our words and our actions. We need to be aware of where we put ourselves, but also what are the influences that are happening? Why do we do what we do? If we are aware of it, then we can make a better choice. We need to be aware of whether we are letting God or something or someone else to lead us. To do this, we need honestly to answer some questions. Questions like, are we responding to desire in us? Something we really want to do, so we think God must want us to do. Or are we actually acting on God's desire for us? What God wants for us to do? Are we justifying our actions to save face? Or are we actually doing what God has asked us to do and wanting to honor God in that? Are we acting out of our own insecurity or fear? Or are we choosing to trust God with each step? We also need to be aware of the people who would influence us, whether they be alive now or through books and ideas. There'll always be those who think they have a better way than we are living, who try to earn a close relationship with God through following angels or human thought or self-denial. These people may actually look more pious than we feel. It can be very tempting. We have no need, though, of special teaching, so Paul says. No need of special practices, special ways of eating. No need to observe special festivals. Christ is enough for us. We are to choose to follow the way of Christ, enabled by Christ himself, because we live in relationship with Christ. Jesus told his disciples that people would not know of holiness. They would know the truth of people's piety in how we love each other, how we forgive each other, how we accept forgiveness. We do this in the strength of the Holy Spirit, so we are able to make choices that allow us to live in Christ and live out Christ's will in the world. Similarly, we are to live our lives rooted and built up in Christ, says Paul, strengthened in the faith as we were once taught. Now, we know on some level what it means for a plant to be rooted, right? Roots give stability. Through a root, a plant gets what it needs to grow big and strong. A tree without roots is no longer a tree, it's a log. The implication for faith is clear. Now, Paul wouldn't have known of this analogy, but I found another one this week. How many of you have seen anything about Pokemon Go? Oh, come on, more of you than that. Let's see. How many of you have played Pokemon Go? Excellent. I've become aware of this new game, and I'm going to just say a little bit about it for those of you who don't really understand it. and I don't really understand it. It's a game you play with your smartphone and traveling to different locations. So many people were playing it this past week. On several occasions, the server went down. Couldn't handle all the volume. Now, I know this because there are lots of people that come to our Pokemon stop, which is our sign, and people are standing there waiting for something to happen. But you see, once the server's down, the players are no longer connected with the game. They can still use their phone. They can go to places that are Pokestops. But without the live feed, you don't get to catch your little Poke monsters. Everything remains empty. The rituals, the things they do are empty. They're no longer part of the game. They have to wait for that connection to be restored. See, connection is essential for playing Pokemon Go, as essential as it is for faith to be connected with Christ. We are rooted in Christ. A Christian life is lived in connection, in relationship with Christ. Without that connection, we can do what Christ said to do, but we cannot be followers of the risen Christ. We can visit places where people have encountered Christ. We can do what Christians do, refrain from what Christians should not do, but without the connection, it makes no sense. We are to be rooted in Christ. Now, I don't know how many of you can see that. On one level, the image makes sense, right? When we talk about Pokemon Go and all those things, it makes sense. But in another, it's kind of absurd. How are we rooted? We can no more grow physical roots than a tree can walk. So what does being rooted in Christ actually look like in our lives? One way, there are several we can talk about. I'm going to talk about two. The first is through prayer. It looks like prayer in our lives. Now, as I say that, some of you are just started to zone out. You've turned to another channel in your heads, perhaps with a sigh or something like, I really don't pray very well and I don't need to know more. Or my prayers are ineffective. If this is you, just bear with me for a moment. Prayer is not about having the right words or having it all right. In fact, prayer is not about impressing God with our vocabulary and fancy words, nor is it about the number of words we pray, and it's not about getting a list of answered prayers that we can show off to other people. Prayer is none of those things. Prayer is about intentionally reaching out to Christ, who has already reached out to us, just as we are, with our own thoughts, with our own words, or with our images if we don't have words to pray. Now, when the disciples were impressed with the way Jesus prayed, they felt their prayers were somehow lacking. They compared their experience of prayer with what they thought was Jesus' experience of prayer. And they wanted to know. They wanted to know the secret. So they asked him how to pray. They wanted to know if there was some special posture, some the best words to pray. And this would have been the time for Jesus to teach them that. I'm quite sure the disciples would have loved to have impressed others with the words they used, with a sense of their own holiness. But they didn't have that to tell us about. Instead, they passed on to us through Mark, through Matthew, and through Luke. Jesus said, keep it simple. Speak to God honestly using your own words. He used Abba, Daddy, to talk to God. He gave them a simple example that we now call the Lord's Prayer, and we use Matthew's version, not Luke's. I know that Jesus never intended us to argue about which one was the better, whether it be debts or sinners, or whether it be trespasses, or whether we put the ending on or not. This prayer contains no extensive vocabulary, no complicated formula. If we believe it was about the words, we would all be praying in Aramaic today. But we don't. We believe prayer is simple thoughts addressed to God, who is holy, putting our needs and our desire to live according to God's way before God and listening for the answers in our lives. We are rooted and built up in Christ as we pray, as we connect. Another way is through the body of Christ. As Christians, our identity is shaped by those around us. It's shaped by the communities to which we belong. Jesus taught community is important. He taught both by what he said and by what he did. He put himself in synagogue every Sabbath. He also said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be with them." We grow our roots into Christ by living in community with other Christians, by learning about Christ from Scripture and the experiences of others, by learning about Christ's life and living it together, by learning about love and forgiveness. We learn to pray through the prayers of others, but also from praying. We learn the right way by making mistakes and by being shown a better way, by accepting forgiveness and giving it. We become rooted in Christ as we meet together in community. You see, we're all part of one body, the church, of which Christ is head. Rather like the server being down, if the head isn't with us, we're not really a body anymore. We draw strength from Christ as we encounter Christ in prayer and community. As we seek God's way together, we can move forward together as a community. And we are strengthened so that we might be more able to live lives in response to the grace that God has already extended to us. Our lives and life together will show evidence of our living in community, of where we choose to put ourselves as we do justice, as we seek to show kindness, as we walk humbly with God, recognizing that God really is our leader. The truth that Paul is pointing us to is that Christ is enough for us. We don't need those other things. In Christ, we find all that we need so we can live the life of the kingdom. In Christ alone it is that we learn the way that leads to life. In Christ alone, we live it. In us, through us, and if need be, in spite of us. May God's kingdom come, and may God's will be done in us, in our community, in our world, as it is in heaven. Amen.